my words are strong. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing this song as I often do. But every song must end. And you will never be true. So I throw up my hands to face you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much. I've nothing else to for a king, except for high singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one rule. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I know it's not much. I've nothing else for keep, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Mic test. Do you hear me? Am I clear? All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that song, wonderful song. Only I have is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Again, Sabbath blessings, everyone. Before we start, I invite you all to kneel. We're going to pray, if you can. Our dear Father in heaven, we humbly come before you this Sabbath day to worship and praise your holy name. Thank you for your holy presence through your Holy Spirit and inspiring us to love you more and continue in faith. Thank you, Father, for blessing the children's study and the adult study we had earlier. It's so amazing, Lord, how you shower us your blessing through your words. And we present all the prayer requests of your children, the spoken and unspoken, trusting that they will be answered in line with your will. I also ask you to please bridle my tongue, Lord, as I speak on your behalf at this hour. And we humbly ask for your forgiveness for the sins we have done against thee. We ask your peace and joy as we continue to worship you this Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the best of our ability in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Okay, so today is December 14, 2024. We are almost over. 2024 is almost over. Two more Sabbath and that's it. 2025 is here. Almost here. Alright, as Pastor Nick earlier said, he has a impression also about the topic about grace, because come on me that really the Lord is impressing us to talk more about His grace, and the Lord gave me this topic for this Sabbath. So before I proceed, I have a question that I think everyone knows the answer. Okay. Oh, by the way, there's a note that I prepare. You can find it in sdrmovement.org/note/12/14/24. That's today's date. .html. So our topic is entitled "Don't Receive God's Grace in Vain." Now, the question is there enough grace for every Christian to avoid sin? Well, I think everyone knows the answer, right? Yes, absolutely. See, when Paul prayed and requested the Lord three times to remove his infirmities, he has a bad eyesight. Jesus answered him. Yeah, without a doubt. This is what Jesus told Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of grace of Christ may rest upon me. So this proves that every believer in Christ has sufficient grace to keep him from sinning and even help in time of difficulties. But our sufficiency is not found in ourselves. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen. And in 1 Timothy 1:14, it says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ's object lesson, page 40, paragraph 2, do you know what's the favorite theme of Christ to present? And when I heard that from Pastor Nick before I speak, it's one mind. This is the reason why this topic is being brought up in the pulpit. Why? Because Christ's favorite theme was the paternal tenderness and abundant grace of God. He dwelt much upon the holiness of His character and His law. He presented Himself to the people as the way, the truth, and the life. Let this be the themes of Christ's ministers. That's why we are talking about grace today. And next time, present the truth as it is in Jesus. Make plain the requirements of the law and the gospel. Tell the people of Christ's life of self-denial and sacrifice, of His humiliation and death, of His resurrection and ascension, of His intercession for them in the courts of God, of His promise I will come again and receive you unto myself. John 14:3. The grace of our Lord was so abundant that this important theme must be clearly understood by everyone. So, that means if someone is lacking it, it is not due to a shortage of what has been provided, but because they have not received enough of what is given by faith and love. Yes, each of us receives grace based on the measure of Christ's gift. Because according to Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, the measure of the gift of Christ is entirely Himself, because Christ reflects the message of all the fullness of the Godhead according to Colossians 2:9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. So, the fullness of the Godhead is truly immeasurable. You cannot limit it. No boundaries. It is unlimited, for it embodies the infinite nature of God. This is the only measure of grace that is given upon each one of us. And the only way to explain the grace offered to everyone in this world is the unlimited measure of the fullness of the Godhead. Look at the Calvary. Look at the cross. But remember, the Lord considers the different spheres and circumstances that surround us to test our character. And the truth that He gave continues to be the test to measure us. For in Romans 5:20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And why is grace given in verse 21? That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the grace is given, for it grants help so that we, you and I, can stop sinning. Romans 6:14-15, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, those who preach the once grace, always grace, stops in verse 14. They falsely claim that a believer cannot lose their salvation no matter what. Because, well, you are now under grace. The believer does not have to keep the law. And they stop here. But verse 15 exposes their error. It says here, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. In other words, being under grace means you have the help and power from God to be obedient so that the curse of the law, and what is that? It is death, shall not have dominion over us. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not by our own works, but while our good works do not earn us salvation, we are created to do good works that honor God and serve others. And this is backed up by letter 58, 1909, paragraph 6. Letter 58, 1909, paragraph 6, it says, there is but one power that can bring us into conformity to the likeness of Christ, that can make us steadfast and keep us constant. It is the grace of God that comes to us through obedience to the law of God. And that is the reason why there is the throne of grace in heaven, where you and I can come boldly to God in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, 16, Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Signs of the Times, June 5, 1893. Signs of the Times, June 5, 1893, give us more clearer meaning of grace. It says, the Lord saw our fallen condition. He saw our need of grace. And because He loved our souls, He has given us grace and peace. Grace means favor to one who is undeserving, to one who is lost. The fact that we are sinners, instead of shutting us away from the mercy and love of God, makes the exercise of His love to us a positive necessity in order that we may be saved. Christ says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. John 15:16. God has chosen each one of us. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus, for choosing us. See, out of many people in the world, it's now 8 billion. We are here. God has chosen us. Why? To bring forth fruit for His glory. The grace of God is also given for our perfection. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Ephesians 4, 12 to 13, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the ultimate goal is to make us become perfect in Christ Jesus, to a level that meets God's standard. It says there, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because the Lord wants us to be perfect. When He said in Matthew chapter 5:48, this is the reason why it's written there, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, perfection of character is possible in this life, in this world, because He wants us to be perfect according to our capacity. And He has given us all His grace in abundance. Abundant grace is given to everyone where sin abounds. It brings salvation to everyone to whom it is given. And what God wants us to do with this gift of His boundless grace is to become like Jesus. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. He is the express image of our God. But why? Why? If grace is abundantly offered to all, bringing salvation in full, then why is it that some do not experience this fullness of salvation? Why? Because this grace is received in vain. Because the love of sin is still reigns in the heart. The love of the world, the lust of the eye, when the flesh still dominate the heart, because you won't allow the grace of God to work in you and for you as it meant to be. And that means it is possible to frustrate the grace of God. Galatians chapter 2, 21. Galatians 2, 21. I was asked before, what's the example of frustrating the grace of God? And in Galatians 2:21, it says here, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, the word frustrate here means to set aside, to neutralize, to cast off, despise, to reject or disannul. So you can neutralize the grace of God, you can set aside, you can reject it. So Paul said that he do not frustrate the grace of God when he openly rebuked Peter for hypocrisy and dissimulation at that time. You can read that in Galatians chapter 2, 14 to 16. Galatians 2, 14 to 16. But when I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul rebuked Peter because Peter acted a double part according to gospel by changing his attitude toward Gentile believers at that time. Out of fear, he was afraid to certain Jews because, you know, these Jews were still zealous for the ceremonial law. But why? The Lord permitted that to happen, so that Peter may see his weakness and understand he had nothing to boast of. Look, the Pope, the man of sin, he exalted himself. He's saying, okay, I'm infallible, which is actually blasphemy. The Pope claimed to be the successor of Peter, but here, Peter's weakness was proof of human infallibility. That Peter was no better than the other apostles. So even the best men will make mistakes in their decisions and frustrate the grace of God if left alone. God offers grace to the unworthy. We are all unworthy. We did not seek this, but it found us. God loves us before we first love Him. God grants us grace because we are all undeserving. And God does not use this grace. Remember, God does not use this grace to nullify or substitute His law. By trying to earn salvation through works, we can frustrate God's grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, 1, it says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." We can frustrate God's grace by receiving it in vain without truly embracing its benefit. This means that, okay, just hearing the message of mercy, we are here every Sabbath, hearing the sermon, the studies, okay? Just hearing it, just hearing the plan of salvation, that's not enough. It's not enough to change the heart. Because the gift of God needs to be received and applied to transform the heart. Yes, even King David, see, the best king ever committed serious error. But he also needed grace. He became humble. So, we can frustrate God's grace for so many things through unbelief, by being stubborn, by being rebellious, obstinate, stiff neck. According to Proverbs 29:1, it says, "He then being often reproved, hardened his neck." He got his neck, "shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Acts 7:51, another example. Acts 7:51, "Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do ye. So, it is possible. According to 40, volume 4 of the testimony, page 626, 40626, "A stubborn and rebellious heart can close its doors to all the sweet and influences of the grace of God and all the joy of the Holy Ghost. But the ways of wisdom are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." Proverbs 3:17. Mono Blessing 76, paragraph 2. MB 76. It says here, "God has made provision that we may become like unto Him. And He will accomplish this for all who do not interpose a perverse will and thus frustrate His grace." We frustrate God's grace by persistently holding on to even one sinful desire. Because in Steps to Christ, page 30, it says, "Even one wrong trait of character, one sinful desire, persistently cherished, will eventually neutralize all the power of the gospel." It's very deep. Father, yes, please forgive us, Lord. All who profess Christ has received the grace of God. Those those who say they are Christians. Yes. But remember, a profession of faith and the possession of truth in the heart are two different things. Remember the sermon we had before about profession or possession? See, the professed Christians who don't possess the truth by revealing Christ's character in their daily life receive the grace of God in vain. Why? Because he is working against Christ. And the enemy is happy. He is exalted. This professor is a stumbling block to others. But that should not happen. Brothers and sisters, dear brothers and sisters, we are exhorted to fully embrace the grace of God and not take it lightly. Let's allow God's grace to work in our heart. It will accomplish its purpose. The power of grace is nothing but the power of God. The power of God is abundantly supplied for each one of us to save us from sin, from our weakness and temptations. It empowers us to overcome the attacks and devices of the enemy and help us live according to the will of God and to perfection. So, do not receive God's grace in vain, for this is the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." See, if God saves you from your past sins by His grace, do not stop there. But keep moving forward. Don't be satisfied. Do not allow the power of sin to control your life today and tomorrow. Hold on to the abundant grace provided. You and I must grow in grace. Because in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Glory to God. In other words, to grow in grace means to have an increased ability to understand the Word of God. We must be fully connected with Christ so as to reach the perfection in the likeness of Christ by His grace. No loose connection. We must connect to the source. 1 Corinthians 6:1-3, it says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." Take note. The word ministry in this verse 3 refers not only to the ordained ministers of God, but also includes everyone. You and I, who accepts God's grace or chooses the name of Christ, because in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "As every man hath received the gift," every man who received the gift, "even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Lord does not want anyone to receive the grace of God in vain. For doing so will give the world a false representation of God's character. Yes, we all have commission. So don't let our heart allow to misrepresent the character of God. Don't allow the enemy to mock our God and prevent others from surrendering their hearts to Him because we receive this grace in vain. God's grace must not be received in vain because it leads to multiple offenses and blames the ministry of grace. But this is a good part. When God's grace is received in its rightful place, no offense will be given in anything. And the ministry or His church, the remnant church, will be blessed rather than blamed. And the Lord has given us, through the Apostle Paul, a detailed list that shows the fullness and completeness of grace in a life that truly embraces it, allowing us to be approved by God. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 4-10. 2 Corinthians 6, 4-10. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. As chastened, and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, these are all the experiences we, as a follower of Christ, the remnant of our seed, can encounter and may now be encountering in this world while walking in the straight and narrow path. So when we do not receive the grace of God in vain, that grace, that abundant grace, will take possession and control our life and use every experience to make us approved to God and build us up in perfection and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We must be ready. Why? Because the time of trouble is approaching fast. And we need a living experience now by God's grace that many are too lazy to get. brothers and sisters, do you want to be like Jesus? I know everybody here does. Then receive the abundant grace He has offered freely to us. Receive it as He gave it, not as you think you deserve it. Put forth your greatest effort and do your best, allowing the amazing grace to work within and for your greatest good. Yes, we all strive to be like Jesus, and by His grace, He will help us to attain the purpose He has for us. This Sabbath, the Lord is pleading with each of us. Do not receive God's grace in vain. Do not frustrate God's grace by rejecting His favor, by rejecting His gift. Don't neutralize His offers of mercy and salvation plan. Do not disregard the gospel that brings salvation to all men. The Lord wanted us all to be saved and to be with Him in heaven. And I will close on this. In Titus chapter 2, Titus 2:11-14, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." I hope and pray that you are blessed with what we share this Sabbath day.
My heart is so proud, my mind is so unfocused. I see the things You do for me, as great things I have done. And now You gently break me, and lovingly You take me, hold me as my Father, and mold me as my Maker. I ask You how many times will You pick me up, and I keep on letting me down. And each time I will fall short of Your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And You answer my prayer, I love You. And as long as You speak in my faith, You walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. And I make my prayer, and feel a bit to a better time. For who am I to serve You? No, I don't deserve You. But that's the part that burns in my heart and keeps me hanging on. I ask You how many times will You pick me up? Keep on letting You down. And each time I will fall short. short of your glory. How far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're speaking my faith, you walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. You are so patient with me.
As I walk with you, I'm learning what your grace really means. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. Instead of trying to repay you, you've given to me. I ask you, how many times do you pick me up? And I keep on letting you down. And each time I will fall short of your glory. How far will forgiveness abound? And you answer my son, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my faith, you will walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace.
Are you going to close the prayer, Brother Helen?
Oh, yeah, my mic was off. I was already talking. It's okay. Brother Dwayne, it's an honest mistake. There's a version that has only a guitar, but again, he has sufficient grace for us. No problem, Brother Dwayne. Let's pray. If you can kneel. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your abundant and amazing grace that is freely given us, bringing salvation to everyone, especially to us who believe. We don't want to frustrate your grace, Lord. We don't want to receive it in vain. We want to please you with everything we do. And we plead for your mercy and power to help us in time of trouble with the best of our ability to be like Jesus in character. Despite of many trials and weaknesses and temptations that come our way, to hinder our walk. Please, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to help us overcome our weaknesses and the attacks of the enemy. Unite your church, Father, in truth and in love. Use us in your service during these last days as we expect the return of our Lord soon. We want to ready ourselves. We want to ready our families, our friends, our neighbors, and as many people as possible with the gospel to join your kingdom. Thank you so much for showing us your sufficient grace today. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the joy that we feel, because we know by faith that you are in our midst. We praise and glorify your holy name. And Father, thank you for cleansing us from all our unrighteousness through the blood of your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, and through the help of the Holy Spirit. And we offer this prayer in the name of our loving King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.